Palm Sunday. This of that changed. And now we see Jesus entering the city of Jerusalem, being proclaimed as Savior and King. And today, as we take these moments that we have this morning together to what I'd like to do is to look at three perspectives or viewpoints in this story, and then briefly three things that we can take from it when Jesus makes an entrance into our lives, into our situations. Keeping in mind that sometimes things in life happen that we just don't expect. And sometimes things don't go the way we expect. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem with all of the crowds and people waving palm branches and shouting Hosanna, three groups in this story, the crowd, the religious leaders, and the disciples, they were all part of this event. The crowd, the religious leaders, and the disciples were all part of this event. But this grand entrance didn't turn out quite the way many of them expected. It's not the first time that this kind of thing had happened. I mean, people were familiar with greeting a national hero or a conquering general or king who would come into the city. And when they knew that person was coming, it was announced that they would often gather at the entrance to the city and wave palm branches. The palm branch was a national symbol of victory. And they would shout, Hosanna. And I don't know if you know what Hosanna means. I need to remind myself sometimes too. Hosanna, which means save us. Save us now. The crowd was shouting and chanting, save us, save us. Originally, the term Hosanna in Aramaic was an appeal for deliverance. In Hebrew, it meant please save. Over time, the word Hosanna came to be an expression of joy and praise for deliverance or anticipated deliverance. And so when Jesus came into Jerusalem, the expression came normally to the lips of the Passover celebration crowds. The thing about this crowd is that they had the perspective of, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? They weren't looking for a Savior from their sins. They were simply looking for someone who could get the Romans off their backs because they were under Roman rule and they didn't like it and it was oppressive and they wanted to get out from underneath the Romans and they heard about this guy, Jesus. I mean, he'd raised Lazarus from the dead and now they heard the news that he was coming into the city and people see him coming and they get excited. This is the guy that raises people from the dead and if he can do that, he can handle the Romans. And so they grab palm branches and they start waving and shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. A lot of them didn't really even know who he was. Remember in our reading, who is this? They just hoped and believed that he was there to fulfill their wants. And so later in the week, when they realized that Jesus wasn't going to do what they expected, we learn in John 19:50 that the same group of people shout, take him away, crucify him. Do you know that unmet expectations are the destroyers of relationships? Unmet expectations are the destroyers of relationships. And you know what happens when our expectations aren't met? Things like anger and bitterness and disappointment and hurt creep in. And these feelings can result in words that hurt and actions that have unintended consequences and thoughts that are not the thoughts that God has for us. And those are the same things that can happen when God doesn't meet our expectations and we can begin to walk away from our faith in him. Unfortunately, that type of thing comes from the human tendency to be self-centered, which leads to deception. I mean, human nature has a tendency toward being self-centered. I'm not calling you self-centered. I'm saying human nature has a tendency toward being self-centered, and we have to fight against that. In fact, the Apostle Paul even said, the flesh and the spirit, they war against each other. They both live in us and they war against each other, he said. It's possible to struggle to really see and understand what we need because we're often focused on what we want. Oh, none of you here this morning, of course, but there are people that it's possible to struggle to really see and understand what we need because we're often focused on what we want or what we think we want. And so there was the crowd. There was also the religious leaders. You know, the thing that's really crazy, I don't know, maybe it's not, but I think it's crazy, about the whole attitude of these guys, the religious leaders, is that they knew the prophecy. I mean, this is what they studied. They knew the scriptures. Of all the people, they should have seen this coming. Daniel the prophet, over 300 years earlier, wrote about this coming of Jesus into Jerusalem, and he told them when the Messiah would enter the city. So you would think they'd be counting it down. But they didn't get it. The Old Testament also tells us that it was prophesied by Zechariah that Jesus would come, the Messiah would come into Jerusalem riding on the colt of a donkey. I mean, you can't get much more specific than that. But the religious leader's perspective of this entire situation was, we're in control here, not you, Jesus. We are. And the religious leaders had a really good thing going. They didn't want Jesus to mess it up. You see, the Romans pretty much let the religious leaders do what they wanted to. But the religious leaders were scared of Jesus. They were intimidated by him because they thought he was going to attempt a takeover. But they weren't about to let their power position go. And we read in John 12:9, we read this. So the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Listen to their paranoia. Look how the whole world has gone after him. You see, the problem is that desire for control can create an unteachable heart. Desire for control and power can create an unteachable heart. And the Pharisees, even though they knew the law, even though they knew the scripture, even though they should have known these things, were all pointing to this very special day and to this very special man, they missed it. They refused it. Because they had unteachable hearts created by insisting on being in control. And so we have the crowd, we have the religious leaders, and then there were the disciples. These guys had walked with Jesus. They'd been with Jesus. They made a commitment to follow him and his teaching and his work. But all through their experience with Jesus, it was a bit like Jesus was holding them back. He's holding back. Again, in the New Testament, when Jesus healed the leper, we said that. He said, don't tell anybody about this. Just go to the priest and let him examine you. When Jesus raised Jairus' daughter after she died, it says he gave the people strict orders not to tell anyone. When Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, there's a story in the Bible about that. He told the disciples who were with him, he said, you know, some awesome things happened then. He said, don't tell anybody about what you've seen that day. After all these amazing things, it's like, come on, Jesus. Why are you holding us back? And Jesus tells them, you saw it earlier, it's because it wasn't time to reveal all that stuff yet. His timing was perfect. He said, my time has not yet come. Well, now it's triumphal entry time. And they come walking into Jerusalem with people waving the palm branches and shouting Hosanna. And the disciples are looking around and they're celebrating with high fives and saying, this is awesome. And then the Pharisees, you know, those religious leaders, they come up again and they go, oh, you need to make these people be quiet. They shouldn't be saying these things about you, Jesus. Make them stop. And Jesus said, nope, not going to do it. Let them sing my praises. In fact, if they don't sing my praises, Jesus said, even the rocks that we're standing on will. And so the time had come. And the disciples are losing their mind with excitement. This is what we've been waiting for. Give me a palm branch. Finally, Jesus was letting them go. It's so easy for me to say this, standing on this side of it, this far along, but they weren't understanding. They weren't seeing the big picture. They were still missing it. Jesus was making a grand entrance, but it wasn't quite going to be what they expected either, because the crown that Jesus was going to wear would not be a crown of jewels. It would be a crown of thorns. The throne that he was going to take wasn't going to be a throne on earth. It would be his heavenly throne. And the disciples' perspective was going to be, no, Jesus, not like this. Not like this. see, back in Matthew 16, 20 to 21, before Jesus entered into Jerusalem, a conversation between Jesus and Peter took place, and we can read it. It says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day be raised to life. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, now listen, Jesus. He says, never, Lord. He said, this shall never happen to you. But Peter was saying, not like this. I know you have to come into your kingdom. I know that you're here to do a special work, but not like this, Lord. Not like this. You know, it's possible in our lives that we may have said, okay, God, I want to grow in my walk with you. I want to be close to you. I want these things to happen. I want the full life that you promised, but not like this. Not like this. And all three of those groups, the crowd, the religious leaders, the disciples, they all experienced that entrance. They were there when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, but they didn't understand what it was. It wasn't what they expected. And so what happens when we let Jesus make an entrance into our lives? What happens when we let him enter into our lives, into our situations? Well, I would suggest to you a few things this morning. First of all, there is a divine disruption. Like that day in Jerusalem, when Jesus enters our situation, he creates a divine disruption. When Jesus makes an entrance into my situation, into my life, he creates a divine disruption. And when Jesus makes an entrance into your situation, when you invite him to be part of the obstacles, when you invite him to be part of the solution to the problems and the challenges you face, when you invite him to be a part of your life, he comes in and he disrupts things. He shakes things up. And there are times in our lives when we need God to shake things up, to break us out of unchallenged thinking and behavior. You see, when Jesus enters your situation, when Jesus makes an entrance into your life, he creates a divine disruption that leads to a second thing. It's a new perspective. He brings a new perspective. You know, your perspective is really the framework through which you see or view the world and interpret things that happen. And lots of things go into developing of your perspective, your background, your childhood, your education, your experiences. All of these things and more contribute to the construction of this perspective, the framework through which you see the world, your worldview. And it's incredible how that framework has such a massive impact on our thinking. But our perspectives can change when we have a better understanding. And that's what should happen when we grow in our relationship with God. In John's account of the triumphal entry, we read about Jesus' disciples and how their perspective changed. It says this, his disciples didn't understand at the time, that's what we've been saying, his disciples didn't understand at the time that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. But after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered what had happened and realized that these things had been written about. After Jesus had completed his work while he was with them, their perspectives, their understanding changed. Now they get it. Now they understand what was going on. Now they understand what Jesus was really there to do, and they buy into it. They buy into it. They understand it and embrace it as a part of their own lives to the point that it eventually costs them their lives to carry on his message. So when I allow Jesus to make an entrance into my situation, into my life, he brings a divine disruption, which creates a new perspective. And with all that, he offers me a Hosanna moment. The people were shouting Hosanna and waving palm branches as Jesus came into Jerusalem that day. And as I said earlier, that expression Hosanna has somewhat evolved over the years. But when you look at that word in the Arabic language, it carries a further meaning of relief from crushing weight. The idea of giving room or giving space. They were saying, Hosanna, save us, bring us relief from the crushing weight. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 38, Jesus had gone into the garden prior to prior to his crucifixion, he'd gone into the garden and he was praying, and knowing what was to come in that moment, he said, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death." And yet he took that weight in order to create a Hosanna moment for you and for me. A relief from the crushing weight, because he knew that we couldn't carry it. And sometimes in life we feel that crushing weight and we need a Hosanna moment. When Jesus makes an entrance into your life, into your situation, he can bring relief to that pressure. He gives you room to breathe. But here's the key to the whole thing. Jesus doesn't make forced entries. He doesn't make forced entries. The key is surrender. You see, when Jesus made his entrance into Jerusalem, he did so as an act of surrender. And we touched on this when we were talking about prayer, because earlier he had prayed, "If it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done and not mine." Your will be done, not mine. And when Jesus comes and makes an entrance into your situation, it may not be what you expect, but it will be everything you need. It may not be what you expect, but it will be everything that you need. When Jesus makes an entrance into my situation, I invite him into those problems, into those obstacles. It might not be what I expect, but it's everything that I need. So if there's disappointment or bitterness or hurt or disillusionment or anger in your life over what you consider to be unmixed expectations from God, we need to give that to him. I'm sorry to sound so simple, but we need to give that to him. We need to surrender that to him, because he can handle it. Trust him. Talk to him. If you need to, ask him to forgive you and show you the way through. Give you what you need to not only get through, but to grow through. Some traditions call this Holy Week, the start of Holy Week, the week before Jesus' crucifixion, when he died on the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins and walk in a relationship with God. Jesus, who made this entry into Jerusalem, folks, is ready and prepared to make an entrance into your life, whatever it is that you're going through, into your situations, that will change you forever. The question is, will you invite him to do that? Will you invite him to do that? Will you continue to invite him to do that? You can invite him into your life. He wants to come in and be part of that. You can say, "Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are. Forgive me of my sins. I want to be part of you. I commit my life to you." And if you pray that prayer and you mean it, Jesus will make an entrance into your life and he will change you forever. What a great way to start this Holy Week. Maybe you're here today and you're already a Christ follower. But maybe you're facing some things and you feel that weight and it hurts. And it's heavy. And you need a Hosanna moment. Jesus brings that relief from the crushing weight. And maybe this week, you just need some room to breathe. Just need some room to breathe. May I encourage you to surrender that, whatever it is, and keep surrendering it to him. He may not do what you expect, but it will be all you need. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your sacrifice. I thank you for giving. Lord, we need to, we must invite you into our lives, into our situations, into our pain, into our challenges, into our difficulties, and into our celebrations. Because, Father, You help us in those things. Some of us just need a Hosanna moment in our lives, where by your Spirit we have room to breathe, where we find relief from the crushing weight, whatever it might be. And Father, I pray that even when our expectations go unmet, that we would hold on tight to you, that we would hold on firm, that we would continue to trust you, that we would tell you how we feel because you can handle it, that we would cast all of those things on you because you care for us. Father, that even though our expectations might be unmet, that Father, we would come to know and be convinced that what you bring and what you give is all we need and is the best for us. Oh, those words come easily. But Father, I pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, would give us the strength to live those things out even this week. In Jesus' name, amen.